Cincinnati Bengals. I got Cincinnati and Andy Dalton somehow pulling this off.
I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals going into Hotlanta to win this game.
But I'm going to really have to say I think Cincinnati pulls this off.
I'm absolutely going Atlanta in this. And to that point, I'll add this. Atlanta wins by at least 21 points.
I was about to say, let's recap that. So basically, here's what happens. If the Falcons beat the Bengals this Sunday by 21 or more points, then all three of the rest of us, that's Coach Hill, that's me, and that's Cody, are going to do a video where we're doing the Dirty Bird. And I'll leave it up to you guys if you guys want to wear Falcon stuff on the first of the week. I'll be wearing Falcon stuff on the first of the week. If the flip side happens where either the Bengals win, as all three of us projected, or if the Bengals lose by 20 points or less, Reggie will be wearing Bengals something brother first of the week, where he will do a video doing the Icky Shuffle taught to him by Icky himself. Is that all the parameters?
That's the parameter.
What about the red beard?
Oh yeah, with the red, and then I have to come back with the red beard, obviously, because I'm pretty sure if I have to do it, then it'll be at the tailgate or after the game that I have to do it with Icky.
Right.
But I'll give my girlfriend
I want it to be done
Kool-Aid.
I want it to be a cherry red.
Wow.
So get some Kool-Aid. Get some Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Tell it near, get some Kool-Aid. Put it in some water, no sugar, and diet.
Wow, what that might be one of the best opens we've ever had. Welcome to Sports Club. It's showtime for sure. And right now, good thing is I'm not by myself. Right now, I'm accompanied by the coach, Haywood Hill. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I'd be doing better if I had seen pictures of a red beard about now.
I knew this was going to come at this time.
Well, and I know Cody couldn't join us. He had some things come up out on the West Coast, and I was just talking to him. But Reginald Aloysius Walker is MIA. Have you heard from him this week?
No, I haven't spoken with him. I did see him on Sunday, and he was a man of his word and posted on social media him doing the Icky Shuffle. And so
it was quite interesting.
Conversations. Yeah, it was quite interesting. I think Icky was more excited than anything.
Oh, I think he was. And yep, Reggie is by far a stand-up guy. We all are here on the show. I knew he would come through on it. I let it slide that he was wearing his Falcons gear because I actually think it added a little more to it. But no, that video, we're doing our best. It's not up already, but thanks to Reggie's better half for the great camera work and making him do that. I think she kept pushing until finally he goes, all right, fine.
Yeah, she was very instrumental, but she did support Reggie. Don't get me wrong. She was a big supporter of Atlanta, also a big supporter of Reggie in doing it. But he did it all in good fun, and it was a great game to see.
Yeah, you know, like I said, based off the way that went, it doesn't always have to be 3-on-1 or we don't always have to all be involved. But when those kinds of things do present themselves on this show, you know, we are encouraged to do those kinds of things. And had he joined us, I'll still give him first dibs if he does call in. The way I'd like to do it on this show is, since he lost that last one, if he wants to call somebody out this week for something, or, you know, I basically let whoever lost the week previously to be able to lead the front this week. So, Reggie, in case you are listening and not able to join us, if you want to text one of me or Coach, if there's something you want to bring up. I did have to change the last game of our picks. We will get to that. Apparently, I accidentally picked the two bye week teams, but we'll get to that. And Coach, there's tons we're going to get into, but let's start with that Falcons Bengals game. Now, outside of Reggie claiming the 21 point victory, me, you, and Cody said this was going to be a close match. It was going to go very, very back and forth, which it did. They both scored touchdowns on their opening drive. They are both two of the worst teams in the league at allowing third down conversions. That was the story of the game. All you had to do was stop somebody on third down, and you ended up winning, which ultimately is how the Bengals won. We'll get to the other part first. But overall, what did you see out of this game, and did it play out exactly how you thought?
It played out exactly how I thought it was going to play out. I think the thing that people fail to realize, and again, both teams are competitive, both teams are professional football teams, you know. But here was the caveat to the story of Atlanta. Their offense is playing really, really well right now. I think Matt Ryan's doing a very good job with ball distribution, which he did. I think the biggest problem that they had was on defense, naturally, with the injuries. And I think what people don't realize is, and I always break the season up into quarters. And so the first four games, I think people fail to realize what Atlanta has on their plate already behind them. They have the defending world champions. They have the Carolina Panthers that was a Super Bowl team within the last 3 to 5 years. You also have your rival, the New Orleans Saints, who was also a Super Bowl contending team and always a playoff contender. And I think that was the difference in this game because, I said it earlier last week on the show, that I felt that they had put a lot into that game when it comes to the physicality of football overall. And then now you're playing with your backup. So going against Cincinnati has always been a team right there on the cusp of being in the playoff or a playoff contender. Most recently, no more than a wild card. So with that being the case, Atlanta in its first quarter has played a lot of tough football, and then they lost a lot of guys that were instrumental to their defense. Now, how does that play itself out moving into the second quarter? I think Atlanta will be a lot better defensively over the next two games. You have to understand that these guys that were on the second team now are starters. Their roles primarily are special teams. So, and maybe they go in for a couple of plays, maybe five plays at the most, six. But now they have to go in and still do their job as special team players and then turn around and play defense. That makes the difference. So you can't simulate, although you try to do the best you can, you can't simulate what takes place in a game in practice. You do the best that you can because at that point you're moving full speed. And so now the secondary as well as the linebacker crew and the defense overall will get better because they will now understand how to go into playing the football game itself. And so I think that in the second quarter you'll see a better Falcon team as they start to grow that chemistry, knowing that they're going to be on the field and they have to make those plays. But again, Andy Dalton did a good job. I think both quarterbacks at best did great managing the game. But at the end, I think what happened was, and it was a veteran slip on Trufant's part, is when they, if you look at that last drive, they have A.J. Green over against Alford, and they throw two corner routes to him. And the first one he caught, they said basically he didn't have control, but he was most definitely in, so he had beat Alford on that play. They come back to the play again, and he overthrows him, but then what they do to win the game is put him in motion, and at that point I think Trufant lost him. And as a secondary coach, you teach a term called bump. And bump means basically when a guy goes in motion, you bump, you might, if you're playing slot on that side, and again Trufant was I think over 83 at that point, he should have bumped out and took A.J. Green and had Oliver take 83 on the inside for the better matchup. So they caught them not adjusted to the matchup, and at the end, that's what really put the dagger in them, and that's how they lost the game, in my opinion. Yeah. On top of the four tackling. They did a lot of four tackling this year. Just a lot of four tackling.
Yeah, I agree. And by now, they all know how they should be tackling. So I don't want to hear any more excuses about, you know, from all these players that, well, how are we supposed to play? We've all, by now, you know what the rules are. It's like, you know, it's like if suddenly they said, you know, they're going to crack down on jaywalking and you decide to jaywalk across the street and get mad because you get a ticket for it. Well, they just told you they're going to do it. So, you know, at this point, they know what they need to do, and there's not many teams who actually can tackle in this league. I wanted to talk real quickly about the Tyler Eifert injury. I am very, very glad that the announcers, once they showed the replay one time, they said, we don't need to see that again. And luckily, they didn't show him again, because that was a horrendous injury. You hate it for this kid. Seems like injuries in between back injuries, knee injuries, now this ankle, it just keeps derailing Tyler Eifert's career, and he is super, super talented and one of the main focuses of this offense.
Yeah, I agree, and this is why contracts are important, and this is why you have some of the when it comes down to playing out your contract and trying to get things done, this is where this comes into play, because, again, you know, it's very well might be the last time he gets a chance. I hope he gets a chance to come back, but the injuries over time on your medical report – then hampers you being able to pass the physical exam. And so it's not that you don't want to play. The question is, can you play? And so
and does somebody want to pay you to play?
Right. And can they afford the market value, even the minimum market value, you know, depending on how many years you have in the league at that point, they have to pay you X amount. And will they be willing to do and trust that? And so this is why, you know, it's a business. You know, football is a business. You know, by far it's a business. That's played in a sport. And so this is why you find these things. And when you want to talk, and you can fall on either side of the coin with this when you talk about contract disputes and whether players make too much money or whatnot. But it's hard to say that when you've had that many injuries in your career, and the life expectancy of the NFL is not very long. So although you might be young in age, your body might be twice that age just from injuries alone. And when you have to go out, let's just say he has to go out and get a job, I mean, some of these things could very well hamper even that, just because of his medical report. So, you know, I just pray for a speedy recovery for that young man. But the injury was horrific. But again, it's a very physical game. It is a very, very physical game, and you see more and more injuries like this. And it's no way you can stop them, the injuries from happening. But again, you know, this is why the money comes into play. For those who don't know why, this is why.
Yeah. Why you try to get what you get, and that's why I never have a problem with people trying to get more money early. We'll get into one of those a little bit later about somebody I think might be pushing his luck. But, I mean, overall, though, this was a really good game. I enjoyed watching it. It was one of the few that I got to see from start to finish. We had especially because in the nature of trying to cover this for the show and all this types of things, we don't always get to see games in their completion. So I was able to see this one all the way, And I would watch it a ton of times over and over again. The thing I did like for the Falcons the most, not only did they not give up, and it seems like they were trying to match score for score every time they can, this Marvin Hall kid that returns punts and kicks for them, he is electric. He's not quite Devin Hester-like, but if the ball goes to Marvin Hall, there's a chance almost every time it's going into the end zone.
I agree, and that was something that the special teams needed with the defense being in the position that it is right now with the injuries. They most definitely need a spark somewhere. And so where one thing is trying to redevelop or reload itself, then that's where the other two units have to step up and help out. And I think that you saw that with the special teams. They did a good job, special teams, while on both sides of the ball, making sure that they did containment, but also making sure they tried to put Matt Ryan and company in good field position to score.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially you being a former coach and everything, people don't realize the difference between starting a drive on your own 25 and starting your own drive on a 35. A lot of people say, it's just 10 yards, but the difference could be a touchdown to nothing.
Right. And one of the other things I like to add to that, Jeremy, is that what people fail to realize, and if I'm just going to do a coaching one-on-one real quick, is that is your first offense and defensive play. So although they only play a third of the game, that is your first offensive and defensive play that starts drives or finishes drives. So
right.
Field position plays a big role in it, and special teams play a big role in how the field position is set up.
Yep, absolutely. Not just for the sake of the bet, but like I say, I was very, very happy with the way the game played out. Even if I would have been wrong, even if the Falcons would have won, it would have been just fine with me. Like I said, it was a very entertaining game. It might have been the game of the weekend. And I mean, hopefully the Falcons have a few more of those left in them this week, because it's real easy to kind of tuck your head and kind of maybe be defeated or say that one really beat you up. But they got to really turn the corner quick.
Well, here's the thing. Again, like I pointed to, their second team playing now and becoming the starters now. This is a, believe it or not, this is going to sound really, really far left in this statement, but that's a good problem for Atlanta. And the reason why I say it's a good problem for Atlanta is because when you get halfway, midway through the season, three-fourths through the season, and you start losing your starters, now you have to play a backup player or activate somebody from the practice roster who might not yet be in sync with what's taking place, although they're professional and they're athletes and they can get the job done, but it's all about the timing and the chemistry. And so where Atlanta lost these key players early, and their backups will have all this experience by midway of the season, a lot of teams will start traditionally losing some of these players around the halfway mark or, again, in the third quarter of the season. And when that happens, now that's these last three or four games that go into the fourth quarter, ending the third, going into the fourth quarter, makes a difference of whether or not you make the playoffs or not. So now, by the time those teams out there amongst the NFL teams start facing some of these injuries or season-ending injuries for some of these players, Atlanta's second team will have had the experience now on the field to help be competitive and still get them in position to make playoffs.
Right. But like I said, once again, shout out to Reggie for being the stand-up guy he is. That was a great video. Like I said, a handful of people, from the feed, and they couldn't believe not only was that Icky Woods, but Icky looked like he's trimmed down a little bit, looked like he was in pretty good shape.
Well, he enjoyed himself. I enjoyed watching him run around and doing a dirty version and quite a few things. He could not wait to get back to the tailgate after the game, because I was able to see him at the game, and he hustled back over there to be able to make it known that he is a Cincinnati Bengal through and through.
Oh, absolutely. And I hated that I missed him, didn't get a chance to go down there and hang out and say hello. But, yeah, you know, Icky's always welcome around here, and he really is a staple around the tailgate. But let's see. Let's go from there to, you know, Mitch Trubisky. A lot of people say he's kind of game manager-like, and that could be the case. Put himself in some interesting company, in the company of, I know Otto Graham did it. I feel like Favre probably did it. Aaron Rodgers probably did it. He threw 6 touchdowns against the Buccaneers over the weekend. And a lot of people were suddenly like, oh, well, you know, he's the next Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. He's the next Aaron Rodgers. Like, eh, let's pull the reins a little bit. I think this has a lot to do with his coach, Matt Nagy, who is a lot like Sean McVay. He's one of those young coaches, up-and-coming coaches you've never heard of. He's very innovative with his play call, and I think he helped call a really good game the way a catcher would for a pitcher, and put Trubisky in a lot of good places, and that and the Buccaneers' defense just didn't show up.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trubisky has a lot of great upside to him. You know, Chicago really rolled the dice when they picked him. And to then all of a sudden play him as fast as they did, because that's not the normal protocol. Again, I agree with you that I think that sometimes you can get the hot hand. I think his head coach does a phenomenal job of play calling. And then again, the jury's still out. I mean, you can't base it off one game. People are quick to love you when you do something as phenomenal as that, because again, that's a phenomenal accomplishment to throw 6 touchdowns in the NFL. Any game to throw 6 touchdowns. Speaks volumes to the offense and your ability to see the field and make sure that you're making the correct throws and ball distribution and all those things. But again, I think it's still early. she got to wait and see if he's throwing six touchdowns for the rest of the season. Okay, most definitely pay attention to that.
Right.
But again, you know, one game doesn't put you in the Hall of Fame. he did join a great company of quarterbacks American quarterbacks has ever been able to accomplish such a feat in a game.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
Coach, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
I have no idea what's going on. I think it's Blog Talk sabotaging us at this point because, I mean, I know we're live right now, but I've been talking for the last 10 minutes or so. Not sure what exactly happened, but I had to come in through a third-party way as usual.
Okay, well, I'd be more than happy to respond to the last 10 minutes that you had. If you just recap.
Basically, I was just saying that Bears fans are excited, but they're very real about it. They want, you know, I think this team is for real. I know you agree with me on that. It reminds me a lot of the Baltimore teams of the last decade or so, where it's really heavy on the defense that keeps you under 20 points or so, and then it's have just an offense. Who doesn't have to worry, you know, just, hey, don't turn the ball over and just try to score us about 20 points. We should win every game.
I agree. I think the addition of Mr. Khalil Mack had a lot to do with the energy of that football team. If you remember earlier in the segment, I was speaking of chemistry. And I think he brought a lot of chemistry to that defense. More importantly, a lot of chemistry to the organization. And with him being there, just sometimes your presence can be felt. And I agree with you. They are right now, for the lack of better terms, a poor man's version of that Baltimore Ravens team that for so long was anchored down and led by the one great Ray Lewis. So I see a lot of the remnants of these players starting to manifest themselves and become that type of demon. Sometimes it's just a matter of adding one or two pieces to the puzzle. And I think Khalil Mack coming over offered that to the football team early, especially with the Green Bay game. So now there's a lot of extra opportunities for Mr. Trubisky to be able to make plays down the field. So when they can hold a team under 20 and they can get over 20, it's not a lot of pressure when you're playing from ahead versus behind. And I do feel that Chicago is a team this year that will be a contender. You know, barring, you know, that they can stay healthy and barring very few injuries, I think that Chicago will be a postseason team this year. I'm not afraid to say that early.
Yep. Exactly, and I don't know if anybody had heard the other thing that I said where, I mean, you got in that division, you got Detroit's offense that it's suddenly found some coal to put in the engine there, and, you know, Green Bay with its up and down and issues and some things they need to get buttoned up. If they don't watch it, Green Bay might be on the outside looking in because of the success of the Bears.
That's true. We always seem to find a way somehow to make our way close to the playoffs, if not in the playoffs. But this year, they have to pay very close attention to Detroit and also pay very close attention to Chicago, their rival. So I think when you look at it, there's going to be a lot of this that's going to go on divisionally this year throughout the NFL altogether. So it's going to be some exciting games. And that back half of the season, what I'm really waiting to see you know, outside of injuries, what teams are going to really look like and how they're going to play themselves and put themselves in position, because the way the NFL, and great kudos to the NFL on how they have put the back end of the season plan, a lot of your divisional opponents as well as your conference opponents. So that also is going to play a huge role in, you know, where some teams stand at the end. So there's a lot of football still left to be played.
Oh, yes, that there definitely is. And that's why pretty much there's not really a team out there, I think, that's ready to hit the panic button. Because, I mean, we're just a quarter of the way into the season. There's so many things that can happen at this point. But let's move on. I want to talk about last Thursday night football. Obviously, as we're preparing to see the Colts and Patriots play here in a few minutes, Georgia State and Troy actually just kicked off on ESPNU for anybody interested in that. That should be a pretty good game. In fact, the game literally just started. But last Thursday, we got to see an offensive fireworks show, basically, as the Minnesota Vikings, led by Kirk Cousins, and the Jared Goff-led L.A. Rams decided to go score for score on each other. The only problem is I'm not sure that anybody can go score for score with the Rams.
I agree. I think the Rams are a very high-powered, very sophisticated offense, and I think that they have so many weapons with Gurley, with their receivers. They have a very stellar offensive line, a good quarterback, and a great head coach. If you get into a shootout with a team that is accustomed to shooting out, I think that you're gonna lose that battle every time. I feel that what they do, they're very comfortable with doing, but more importantly, they're very confident in what they're doing. And right now, the Rams, if you're trying to go score for score with them without trying to get at least 3 to 4 stops a game against them, and I would include a stop even a field goal to be considered, then they're going to get those extra possessions, and they almost play it like arena football. They'll just go right down and just put it right into the end zone real fast, and the more time that they have, the more opportunities they look at it scoring. So I would advise any defensive coordinator to be trying to let them slide quickly. If you can get them in the backup, and I mean from the 20 on a kickoff or whatever, 25, you got to try to make your run at them defensively right then, because once they hit midfield or get a short field, then it's almost impossible to stop them with all the weapons that they have.
Oh, yeah, it definitely so. They're a lot of fun to watch. I'll give them that. But the fact that Kirk Cousins could keep them close there for a minute, I think he's already showing that he's ready to earn that contract. And Minnesota not do it off to the best start in the world, but at the same time, you can't discount them either, because they're a team that could show up in January.
So we were true. They have that on their resume from last year. And so once you get that taste of postseason play in your mouth, and you quickly try to turn it around and replicate that success the very next year. So I think a lot of stuff is going to come down to a while. You had a lot of teams last year that were right down the cusp of being in conference championship game, if not the Super Bowl themselves, and that is the mission when you go into the very next year, is to go back and try to replicate that process as quickly as possible, especially if you have all the pieces in place. And they do for the most part. So, again, you know, you can't depend on just the X factor of teams wiping each other out or split. You have to go out and win football games now, regardless if they're divisional, conference, or non-conference.
Yep, absolutely. But, you know, I really don't – if anybody's expecting this week's Thursday Night Football to be like last week's, I think you might be watching – the wrong game. Last I checked, the Patriots are favored by 10.5, which is just it's about as absurd of a number as saying the Falcons are going to win by 21 points. But at least I cut Reggie slack because he's a passionate fan. I have no idea what people in Vegas are doing unless they're just trying to get action on tonight's game.
It must be. Again, you know, I don't know how that movable part works in the gaming world. But it will be very interesting to see how this game turns out and what the final result will be scoring-wise.
Yep, I definitely agree. And, you know, spoiler alert for everybody, that's not one of the games we're going to pick later on, just because I don't know if any of us would pick the Colts. I don't see it. I'm probably sure you don't as well, Coach, right?
Not at this point, no.
You know, had Miami beat New England over the weekend, I'd say maybe there's a puncher's chance. But at this point, I think it's that reference you like to make about one team's playing checkers, the other's playing chess.
Correct.
The weird thing is it seems like at the same point that all the teams in Florida seem to be in a lot of similar situations. I think the two in Texas are in some similar ones as well. But we're going to focus on Houston at this point, even though these two teams will play each other this weekend, Dallas and Houston. How long do you think Bill O'Brien has as the head coach of Houston? Because, you know, before he's the quarterback whisperer. He worked with Brady, I believe. And, you know, he's really good at developing offenses and young quarterbacks. And he just hadn't had his quarterback. Well, he drafted Deshaun Watson. I'm sure Watson got hurt last year when he was just starting to hit his stride. But he's had Watson for at least a decent amount of games at this point. And yet Houston is one of the most underachieving teams in the league so far. Do you think Bill O'Brien makes the end of the year?
I do. I feel that I'm very confident that he should make the end of the year. Again, I think a lot of pressure is being put on a lot of these young men coming directly out of college and going directly into the pros and starting. And that, again, you have to be patient. I mean, these guys are up and down. What they did in college doesn't necessarily mean it's going to transition into the NFL. You hope that that's what's going to take place. And I think that Deshaun Watson will be able to do that. But I think based on what Mr. Prescott was able to do last year, what you see with some of the quarterbacks coming in now, they have one or two or three, you know, very, very on-fire games, for lack of better terms. And then people assume that that's going to transition all throughout the season. You have to take it one game at a time. And, again, people have to realize that Deshaun is still learning the game himself. So I don't feel that there should be any alarm for Coach down at Houston right now. I think that he's doing a great job down there. I also feel that Deshaun is going to be right there in the mix of it. Again, remember, we have a lot of football to play. And mm-hmm. one or two, or the first quarter is just what it is. It's the first quarter. You still have three other quarters of football to play. And so, again,
right.
you know, when they get to the midway point, that's when I really start evaluating where a player is going to be or where a team is going to be. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some teams I look at early, but really the determining factor starts around week eight for me, because at that point I know what's coming on the back end of that third and fourth quarter, and now I'm starting to look at injuries, I'm starting to look at how chemistry is working, I'm starting to look at what teams are doing better or worse in, or are they still climbing that ladder. So, you know, don't count them out, and I don't think anybody should be worried about whether or not Coach should finish out the year down there. I feel very confident that will take place.
Yeah, I think if they don't have a couple of wins on the board the next couple of weeks, I don't think he sees the end of the year. I'm not sure when their bye week is, but at the same time, all right. So now that he has his quarterback, I would hope they give him a little bit of time to get it all in place. But that defense, I don't think is doing well enough right now to save him. I don't think he makes the end of the year, but I also don't know if Jason Garrett makes the end of the year. But I think that's going to have a lot to do with who's available.
Right, and that was the point I was about to bring up. I mean, you can, if you want to, for the sake of whatever the reason may be, and I can't speak from an ownership perspective, decide to part ways with your head coach. The question is who you're going to replace him with at that point in time in the season? You know, who wants to come in and be an interim, and then where does your search begin? With that. So, again, you know, just try to fix the wheel at 70 miles an hour, to me, doesn't guarantee one way or the other that it's going to be a quick impact on what you're trying to get done in that particular year. So,
right.
Again, I mean, what's available out there? Who's going to be able to come in right now? All your college coaches are accounted for right now. You have some assistants that are out there, but, I mean, you try to elevate one to interim. In the back of that coach's mind, there's a guarantee that he's going to be the next head coach. So those are some of the things that you have to think about when you make that kind of move. How much more disruptive could that be to your organization, but more importantly, to your locker room?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, as a Cowboys fan, if we move on from Coach Garrett, I would hope we go in the McVay-Nagy aspect. I want an offensive-minded coach who is aggressive, has some interesting play call. But in also doing that, you know, it moves on to another question we had down here. In doing something like that, if there's a new coach in Dallas, then I think the answer to this question I'm about to ask is absolutely. But if Garrett's still there at the end of the year, it could be interesting. Given some of the talent that's in college right now, I mean, the Herbert kid up in Oregon and I think Locke is his name, and there's a couple other ones that are lighting up the college ranks right now. If you want to wait a couple years, you got the Ohio State kid, you got Tua Tagovailoa down in Alabama. Is it time for the Cowboys to draft competition for Dak, who is just in his third year, or you know, should they just try to ride with him? Because at this point, I think Dak is honestly a bridge between Romo to our next franchise guy. But at the same time, it's not that he's bad. It's just he's not Tony Romo. He's not Troy Aikman, I guess.
Well, the thing with that is we won't know that until he plays it. The same amount of time. So, I mean, we're talking about a kid that's only got 3 years under his belt and basically became a starter in year two. And with that being said, I don't think that you move from Dak Prescott too fast because, again, there are a lot of movable parts in the NFL. When you're talking contracts, when you're talking about situations possibly with your head coach and all of these things, tend to affect. And I don't think that Prescott, again, I spoke of this last year when I said, you know, he had a phenomenal year last year, but then the following year when defensive coordinators have those 16 weeks that they can go pull that film on and sit all in the offseason to dissect what he does, that's kind of like the sophomore jinx type thing. So now can he come back off of that year? And although it wasn't the sophomore jinx, you know, for the lack of better terms, he's now in year three, and now he's starting to mature in the NFL a little bit. That's part of what happens with year three. I don't think people should pull the gun so fast. I mean, at some point you have to stick with someone and some type of level of play so that you can get to where you want to go. If you're constantly switching quarterbacks every 2 or 3 years, then you're never going to have a quarterback that's going to ever feel comfortable in that position. They might win football games. They might even get to the playoffs, but they're never going to be truly, truly comfortable. I mean, look how much time Troy Aikman played that sure. You referenced him. Look how long that Tony Romo, they stuck with Romo. You know, so if you're not going to do that with Dax, then what are you saying from an organizational standpoint if every 3 years you're going to be looking for a quarterback right now to possibly replace? It's not college. You know, so you're not guaranteed that you want to waste a top draft pick on a quarterback to come in for just competition purposes. If that's the case, just go find your veteran that you feel comfortable with and then just sign them and then just go with the veteran. But, again, I think that, you know, most definitely Dax has a lot of tread on his tire, and he still has a lot of football to learn, and I don't think that they should immediately have him feeling uncomfortable as their starting quarterback right now.
Yep, absolutely. I am trying to look up the answer to the question I'm going to have here, but, you know, and for a lot of people, it's like, look, like I said, I'm going to speak as a Cowboys fan here and say I'm not giving up on Dak Prescott. I'm just saying we should always keep every option open in this situation. But for everybody who says, well, you just want to replace Dak, it's like, no, I want competition behind him, the same way Falcons fans, and Reggie usually tells us this, they want competition behind Matt Ryan because it'll make him play better. Or if the competition's better, it gives you the ultimate opportunity to move on and go from there. But, you know, I brought up Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman had been, I think he had been starting for a year or two, and they drafted a quarterback high in the draft, to which all he did was make sure that guy never got on the field. So just because if they – let's say they did draft the Herbert kid out of Oregon, Dallas did. Just because they draft him that high, just because he's really good, if Dak continues to play at a high enough level to where he never sees the field, then, you know, Dak's still the starter.
Well, you also have to take consideration that Dak doesn't have the receiving core that he once had before, too. I mean, you guys need some receivers. So
right.
I won't put it just on quarterback play. You don't have this premier number one receiver on your team as you have had in the past with Dez Bryant and Terrell Owens and some of those guys. So you don't have a clutch guy, as I like to call it. You don't have that clutch receiver. And you know, again, with that being the case, it can also make it look worse than what it really is. So, again, I think that if you're going to look at a quarterback toward the future, if you're not comfortable with Dax, I think you wait another year or possibly two, depending on if you change at head coaches, if there's a change in the guard there, then you have to at least give him 2 years to learn that offense.
Right.
If not, then, again, going after another quarterback, another young quarterback in the draft, means that you have no experience at quarterback, although he has a couple of years in, he doesn't have the years in. And that's why when they draft those quarterbacks, they look at a 7-year window for them because they know how long it's going to take for them to get in there and also leave a cushion room if there's a change of the guard, an offensive coordinator, or even at the highest of the hand being head coach. So I don't think now is the time to do it. I really don't. I think everybody is falling in love with the quarterbacks that are coming out. But, again, when you put those guys under pressure, they haven't seen these defenses, and you go, okay, well, we wasted a one or a two to pull this quarterback out of college in the draft to do so. And if he doesn't pay him, then you've lost money that you can't get back. So I think
right.
You stick it out with that. Because, again, like I said, if it was a situation where there were some issues involved, and again, let's go back to the Troy Aikman comment that was made earlier. I mean, that can spark or that might not spark. What you're looking for, you know, over time. But then there might have been some other things that were going on as to why they made that move. Dallas is a very interesting organization. I mean, it's full of interesting twisted turns, as I would like to say. So, again, if they want to do that and they think that's going to elevate him, it might work, it might not work. And then on the other end, if it doesn't work, then you have another quarterback that you still have to now develop and get to that point to be your starter on a consistent basis. You know, so it depends on what Dallas wants to do. But overall, I think that Prescott is your guy for right now, and I still think that he still needs another year and or two to mature before you decide on if that's the direction you truly want to go. Because even if you don't draft those guys will still be available for somebody from someone else's team. They won't be your immediate impact starters within a two-year period. So, again, if you want to go get them, why waste a draft pick when you can go just pick them up later?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, let's go to something that it seems like is very popular with everybody else at this point as well. And, you know, like I said, if you gave me the opportunity to see a UFC fight from the front row or to see this next guy from a skybox, I think I'm going with the skybox. And of course, we're talking about.
It's Showtime!
Yep, his nickname Showtime. Showtime Patrick Mahomes. And everything he's doing in Kansas City, he is off to an electric start. It does have some to do with his talent, some to do with Andy Reid's scheme. He is a quarterback whisperer anyway. But this kid, they try to compare him to Favre because he just is not afraid to make a lot of throws, but if you compare those two, and I hate to compare the two because it's two different eras. But what Mahomes does right now, I think he's a little bit smarter football-wise than Favre was at this point in his career.
Well, Favre was always a risk-taker, and I don't think there's a comparison right now. I really don't. I think a lot of times media and sensationalism takes over where reality really sets strong. And hard as Grand Prix. I think he's a very good football player. I think a lot of his success right now, and I'm willing to put a lot behind this when I make this statement, has a lot to do with his head coach, Andy Reid, and what he can do and how he game manages him right now. He has a lot of confidence in him, but yet also the quarterback has a lot of confidence in what his head coach is doing offensively. Again, we have to wait to next year or the back half of this season to start really evaluating what that's going to look like when you have those tough games, divisional games, conference games, back to back to back to back. That's what's going to tell
right.
you what I really want to know. Again, right now, it's just the first quarter. It is, you know, it's still, you know, three games from now, will people be saying the same thing about him? That's the question. You know, that's why I don't get caught up in the sensationalism in it. You know, you have to be honest with yourself and say, hey, still remember, you know, he's a rookie, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to look at those kind of things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But, man, he is something fun to watch. Everybody talks about the left-handed throw, but there are some other throws. What people don't realize is when he starts scrambling, he's not just wildly trying to throw it like unfortunately, like Favre would. Because, like you said, Favre was a risk-taker. If he thought he could get it in the window, he tried to do it. What Mahomes does, if he thinks he can get it in the window, he puts it in the safest spot possible to where it's either in the hands of his receiver or it's incomplete.
Correct. And that shows a lot about his ability to trust what his head coach is teaching him about how to see the game and play it smart. But like I said, you know, how much running around will he be able to do 8 weeks from now? You know, or 4 more weeks from now. That's going to be the true test of it all. You know, what teams will do defensively to scheme against the run. Remember, they are all fresh legs. You know, they are all fresh legs out there right now. And so, again, once, you know, people start collapsing that and playing into that and start giving him some different looks, how well will he be able to process why he's scrambling and move is going to be the true test to that. You know, so, again, teams are slowly putting together their game plans 2 and 3 and 4 weeks in advance before they play them to come up with ways to do it and find ways to stop it. So, again, kudos to him and his success this year and the way Coach Reed has handled him. But the truth will come out at the back end of the season and more especially next year.
Yep, I absolutely agree. It really is one of those, once they get film on him, somebody will figure out a plan or maybe hire one of the Ryan brothers who I don't think are doing anything currently to figure out a plan, because there's a way to stop him. You got to have the personnel and you got to have the scheme.
Correct.
Let's see. I wanted to ask Cody this, but since Cody's not on, we will discuss it, and we're probably on the same side of this as well. Here is my theory, and I'm going to float it this way. Anytime we have – not really a conspiracy theory, but a theory. So I want everybody to follow me here. As Niner fans, you might be hitting that button here soon. The 49ers scored 27 points over the weekend in a win, their first win. But they did it without Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, here's my theory. We all thought, or a lot of people thought, Jimmy Garoppolo was like going to be the next great thing, and he still could be. But the fact that they scored 27 with C.J. Beathard, who, as nothing personal to him, I like the kid, but at best, he is a top-level backup. He's not a perennial starter. Top-level backup scored 27 points without Jimmy Garoppolo tells me that it's a lot about Shanahan and his play calling and let's see, and about his scheme and the way he can do things, which brings me over to Matt Ryan having his best year a couple years ago with Shanahan, and now it's starting to come back with Sarkisian. So ultimately, here's my theory. Shanahan's scheme is so good that it made Matt Ryan look really good the last time. Now he looks good this year, which means Sarkisian is not a slouch either. It just takes a little while to get under his tutelage, basically. Are you kind of following where I'm going with this?
I do, and I agree with you 100%. I think a lot of it has to do. Again, we just pointed to Mahomes and Andy Reid and said the same thing. It has a lot to do with the confidence and the level of comfort that the quarterback has with the offensive coordinator and the plays that are being called and being able to see what they're trying to get done in the design of the play. And so, again, you know, I said that Shanahan had a huge part in Matt Ryan's success because he began to see some things and was able to basically maneuver through it, and now he's showing it with a backup quarterback. So, obviously, something's working right with that, because if you put up 27 points with a guy who had no idea that he was going to be not holding the clipboard and jump into the game and have to get this job done quickly, it said a lot about how he was able to process what was being done, understood the game plan in its entirety, and went out and performed it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, Falcons fans, a lot of people, they know how me and you, Coach, feel about Matt Ryan. But it never hurts to have a little help from your friends. And you got to think Kyle Shanahan is a good friend, made Matt Ryan look better. Having Devontae Freeman back this week is going to help Matt look better. Sarkisian, now that he's used some of the old concepts of of Kyle on top of his concepts, Matt, it's going to help Matt look better because Matt knows the scheme now. So all in all, this is a good thing, and they can quit throwing either of those guys under the bus. But if you're the 49ers, you also have to wonder if Jimmy G might be expendable somewhere down the road, maybe at the end of this contract.
Well, again, it could be very well possible. Unfortunately, you hate to lose a guy just to injury and doesn't get an opportunity to see the full duration of him in the offense over a year or a two-year span. And that's why I said, you know, those things become slippery slopes. You won't know that until you get him back, get him healthy, and get him back on the field. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they do at that position for themselves. But, again, it's still early, and there's still a lot of football to play. And even if, you know, that was one game for the backup, let's look at him three games from now and see if he's still being just as consistent and putting up points or being competitive at that point. Or do they go find another quarterback? Who knows? You know, it's still so much football, so many scenarios that have to play out from the day-to-day operations from the football side of that. But, again, you know, we'll wait and see. And, again, three games from now, if he's in there as a starter, let's look at it and revisit it then.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Boy, I love how the internet is messing with us right now. There it is. I was trying to figure out who they played last week because I think that had a lot to do with them picking up the win as well. I know they were one of the late games. Actually, they lost that game. Okay, the Chargers were able to beat them 29-27. So, Chargers defense is not bad. So the fact they hung 27 points on the Chargers, I'll give them a little more credit on that.
Yeah, that was a very good football game.
Yeah, they're between the Ravens and the Chargers seems to be everybody's dark horse to make the playoffs and potentially knock New England off.
That's true.
But, yeah, anytime you see the backup do well, you have to start to look at the scheme, look at who's playing, who's making all the play calls. And on top of that, you know, everything you're dealing with. But like you said, there's plenty of football left. Let's see what happens in the next couple weeks. And there's plenty of football left to play.
Absolutely.
Before we get into our picks and get out of here, because we are approaching closing time here at Sports Club. I want to talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs just a little bit. The two wild card games have happened in the last 2 days. I know because I've not gotten a lot of sleep between hockey and baseball in the last couple nights, but it's small price to pay to be a big fan and part of the media, and you know all about that. Last night you had the Yankees who defeated the Oakland A's, Cody's A's, my Yankees over his A's, 7-2, I believe. Basically, this was a story of if this was a 5 or 7-game playoff, you got to kind of maybe tip the scales towards the A's side because they're a very scrappy team over the long haul. But if you give the Yankees a one-off, a way to load up, you gave them one night to load up everything they got and shoot it in one big cannon blast, the Yankees are going to win that almost every time. And I don't know if you saw any part of the game, but I think Stanton went deep. I think Judge went deep. It's you know, now the Yankees get Boston, we get to see if they can actually hold their way in a big series against a bigger team. But like I said, if this was more than a 1-game playoff, I think the A's had a chance.
Yeah, like I said, if it was played like basketball, the A's, you know, a team that most definitely would have been in the running. But because, you know, again, the Yankees are such a loaded team right now, and they have a lot to prove coming back. So it's going to be interesting to see how the World Series, who's going to end up in the World Series, but I think a lot of it plays out early.
Yeah. And then the other wild card a couple nights ago went all the way to 12 or 13 innings. I think it went to 12. The Chicago Cubs, unfortunately, did not win that one. The Rockies were able to scrap together a run. Rockies, it's good to see them. And, I mean, as far as teams in the playoffs, you just didn't expect. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Rockies and the Braves, ultimately, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, it's always good, and we see it in a lot of sports, and it's always good, especially in the NFL as well, to see those teams that you just don't get to see all the time. So it's good to see those teams in it now.
Yeah, it's always good for the fan base as well. just to kind of get some new faces, new teams, and see some new names.
Right. Of course, this sets up, I think some of the games start tonight. You've got the Rockies and the Brewers who will be in a series. I believe it starts tomorrow. You have Houston and Cleveland who I believe start tonight. You have the Yankees and the Red Sox, which is always a good series no matter when they play it. I believe it starts tomorrow. And also starting tonight, the L.A. Dodgers will host, I believe, our Atlanta Braves. How good is this Braves team, and how far do you think they can go?
Well, I hope all the way to the series. But, again, you know, stranger things have happened. But I think Atlanta most definitely can position themselves. I think they know what it takes to get there. And hopefully they will be able to pull a string of wins together and find themselves there. And with the Super Bowl coming here, you know, it would be nice to see you get a World Series and a Super Bowl in the same year.
Yeah, that would be something. Now, of course, not only the Braves going to have to pick up their effort a little bit, but those Falcons going to have to almost double time their effort at this point.
Yeah, that's correct.
But, yeah, who knows how it's going to play out. Those are the teams involved. If you're in, there's a chance you can win. And if you're not, well, better luck next year. But let's get into our picks. Once again, still have not heard from Reggie at this point. So I don't know his picks, but I do know Cody's picks. And like I said, I had to change the last game because I mistakenly thought the two bye week teams are playing each other, and that was my fault. Now coming into this, Cody is leading at 10-5-1. Coach, you are in second, just a game behind at 9-6-1. Reggie's a couple behind that at 7-8-1, and I'm actually right on his heels at 6-9-1. We'll start with the obvious. Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
You know, that's been a tough one for me. That's still really a tough one for me, to be quite honest with you. But I feel, boy, that's still a tough one for me to pick because it's in Pittsburgh.
They both have a lot of issues right now, and they're in different directions.
Correct. And I think that this week I'm actually going to go with Atlanta. I feel that Atlanta knows that they need to get a win right now, and I think that if it's time to beat a team like Pittsburgh, the time is now. I think they have to make a statement with this Pittsburgh game. I think they played a tougher schedule right now than Pittsburgh in the first quarter. So I'm going to have to lean on Atlanta and its experience thus far. And based upon what I said earlier in the segment about the first quarter and the teams that they played, my only concern right now is the guys that they have on the field. But I think that if they can manage it, if the offense can manage it with time of possession, I think that Atlanta can pull this off, and I think that they can also do it off the foot of their kicker. So this week I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Well, then everybody can blame Cody for us not being able to hear the Homer soundbite because, I got him as well. We know Reggie's going to pick him. That's the only pick of his I actually know. And I agree. It's basically you look at Atlanta is facing a lot of injuries on defense. Their offense looks pretty good. If they get Devontae Freeman back, I think that's going to really help things out a lot. It's going to help Tevin Coleman, who has been dinged up a little bit here and there. And that third running back, I don't know how they keep getting these running backs. That third running back, he ain't a slouch either. But basically, like I said, you look at injuries. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, and that's why I'm picking them because they have a three-headed monster in their backfield. They can really ground and pound you right now, and they can eat up time on the clock. And if they can just kind of keep Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown off of the field, I think that's going to be the difference in how Atlanta wins this game. If you can just continue to do that, get your first downs and stay in thirds and shorts and kind of eat up clock and score when you need to and get one or two stops on the other side, and then you got the confidence of your kicker on the long field goals if need be, I think that's the game plan personally. I mean, I don't know that to be true, but if I'm looking at it from a coach's perspective, I think that's the direction I would go with.
Yeah, basically it boils down to me that you got the injuries on defense for Atlanta, and, I mean, you can't replace some of the guys that are out, And hopefully it doesn't, you know, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't bite them even more at this point with all the people they have out. But injuries, I can find other people and I can slide some people around, maybe, you know, sometimes move a player out of position to a different position to kind of play a different scheme. I could play with a scheme and make up for an injury. What Pittsburgh's dealing with is dysfunction in the locker room, and that's an attitude and a culture problem. So, to me, that's harder to overcome than a couple key injuries on defense, and that's why I think Atlanta's going to win, is I think they can overcome injuries better than Pittsburgh can overcome dysfunction.
Right, and I also feel that I don't know if defensively Pittsburgh has enough to stop Atlanta's, not only their running
right.
game with the three-headed running backs, but also – what they have in the receiving core right now. I think Matt is really feeling this offense right now. He's clicking for one. He's putting up the points. I think they'll score just as many points as they have in the last two games, and I don't think Pittsburgh has enough defensive themselves to possibly stop all of that moving at one time. So
right.
I just don't see where Atlanta loses this game right now.
Right, because, I mean, basically – Pittsburgh would have to stay in nickel the whole time because of what is it, Calvin Ridley?
Correct.
But like I said, we all have Atlanta except for Cody, who homered out with Pittsburgh on that one. Would love to hear his analysis on that, but I guess we'll get that next week. Let's move on to Minnesota at Philadelphia. Cody's already chimed in with Philadelphia on this one. Coach, how do you see it playing out?
I think Philly wins that game at home. I think it's going to be tough to go in there and beat them right now. I think they still have enough in the tank and still flying high off in the Super Bowl that they can pull it off at home. So I'm giving Philly at home.
Well, I guess I'm the one that's going to mess this up then, because without knowing Reggie's pick, I said Cody already has Philly. You take Philly. I got Minnesota. If Kirk Cousins can show up and do and put up the kind of points that he did last week, their defense doesn't look the same as last year, but Philly's offense to me doesn't look how it is. I know it's because Carson Wentz was out and he's just now coming in, but until they find that groove, I can't give Philly the benefit of the doubt. I think Minnesota's going to win this because Kirk Cousins is just going to put up a laser light show.
Okay, that's going to be interesting.
Oh yeah, I honestly hope that's one of the I hope that's maybe the 4 o'clock game or something like that, but I feel like it's going to be an early game. Jacksonville at Kansas City. Obviously, I'm going Kansas City in this one. I like Jacksonville. I like their defense. Like I said, I'm still picking Kansas City just because it's one of those, until proven otherwise, I'm going to pretty much take the Rams and the Chiefs until they lose. But this will be a real test for Mahomes. He'll go against one of the best defenses in the league. It'll be very interesting to see if that speed in Jacksonville on that defensive side can do something and really pressure him, put him in some odd places. But somehow I still think he's going to find a way to do it. I got Kansas City.
You know, I like Kansas City as well. If this game was being played in Jacksonville, I'd probably go the opposite direction. But I think with the momentum mm-hmm. and being a home game and the crowd playing a role in the success of them as well, I think I want to go Kansas City with this at home. I don't think – I love Jacksonville's defense, but I don't know – if there's going to be enough there for this game to shed in that. I still think it's a lot more that they don't know about him than they do. And so I think that Coach Reed will have some interesting play calling that will be taking place in the game that's going to really challenge Jacksonville's defense and its aggressive style too. So it's going to be interesting to see if they play it overly aggressively or underly aggressively, how they're going to try to manage Mahomes in this. But I think that with it being a home game, I have to give it to KC.
Yep, and I agree about that. If this was not played in Kansas City, if it was played in Jacksonville, I agree that I would have to nod a little more towards that side because the Jaguars are just a different team at home. But in the same respect, the Chiefs are a different team at home too, or they're a better team at home. So without knowing Reggie's picks, I guess if I could get it to work, maybe. There we go.
It's funny because it's true.
Then so far we're in complete agreement on Kansas City. I feel like we're all going to be in agreement on this next one. The Miami Dolphins are going to go to Cincinnati to take on those same Bengals we just saw here in Atlanta last week. I got the Bengals. Cody's got the Bengals. Coach, who do you got?
You know, again, that's a tough one, too, because Miami's playing some very good ball right now.
Oh, yeah.
And this game is played in Cincinnati, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough one. That's another one of those games where, you know, I can go either way with it. But I'm going to have to go with Cincinnati as well. I'm going to go with Cincinnati because of what they're coming off with Atlanta in that tight game. And plus they're going to be at home, and they're one of those teams that can be tough to beat at home. I don't know if Miami has enough to beat them at home. Again, if this is in Miami, I might lean the other way. But, again, I think Cincinnati is riding the wave right now, and Dalton is about where he is when he goes to the second quarter. And it's kind of tough to beat there. I think they got some things, some good things going offensively for them. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well in this one. I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
It's funny because it's true.
And there we go. Like I said, without knowing Reggie's picks, I'm pretty sure he would agree. I don't know. He may still be a little wounded by the Bengals at this juncture. But the three of us are all in agreement on Cincinnati for 2 weeks in a row. I'm all in on the Bengals train. I don't know how far they can go, but I'm ready to just ride it out. The Bengals wave, I guess. I'm ready to ride this wave until it hits the beach this year. I think it's going to be a fun team to kind of keep up with and to see where they end up going. And, you know, shout out Icky Woods. I think you got a real interesting team this year.
I agree.
But to recap, we all have – all of us, or me, you, and Cody have Cincinnati over Miami. We all three of us have Kansas City over Jacksonville. Cody took Pittsburgh. The rest of us took Atlanta. And you and Cody took Philadelphia. I took Minnesota in that one. We'll see how it is. We're starting to I started to catch up a little bit in the picks, and Cody was able to surge ahead of you a little bit. We're going to see how this irons out because it usually ends up being a pretty tight race towards the end.
I agree the race is going to be very tight, especially on the back half of the season when the picks are a little harder to do.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we always try to find interesting games each and every week, and sometimes it gets harder. Like right now it's hard because everybody's so up in the air about everything, but we try to put together some fun matchups. We try to talk about different teams all the time. So far I think we're doing a good job of that.
I agree.
But – Coach, I guess that's going to do it for us this week. As always, it's nice to have you on. And
thanks.
There we go. It's starting to. Yeah, it's nice to have you on. We always have some great discussions and everything. I think we hit everything, did we not?
We did.
But have a great week. I know you are about to watch this Thursday night game just like I am. I'm going to have to run dual screens here as it is at the end of the first quarter for all the Georgia State or Troy fans listening. It is the Troy Trojans 14, Georgia State 0. They are showing Coach Elliott right now. I would not want to be one of his players. He looks like he is in not a very good mood, but a turnover near the goal line will do that.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. But once again, Coach, have a great weekend. We'll catch you on the other side of everything. And for the coach, for Reggie, for Cody, for everybody in between, this has been Sports Club. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Bengals.
I'm taking the game. The game's mine. Yeah, witness the change. It's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save the time. I
like a dad told me, I don't too fair. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tools in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?